It's a very simply structured address this morning. I'm going to comment directly on the gospel, and then I will explain how that gospel fits into the narrative flow of the gospels as a whole. And by that point, you will begin to see why it is that we read just this gospel on this Sunday, immediately before Ash Wednesday and before Lent. So let's start with the passage itself, the story very familiar to most of us of the Transfiguration. The key thing to realize about the story, which takes place on top of Mount Tabor, rather isolated mountain in the Vale of Jezreel up in Galilee, it's a very striking geological formation, is that Mount Tabor is the new Mount Sinai. In Exodus and in Numbers, the glory of God is revealed on Mount Sinai. It's revealed to Moses, obviously, when he goes up and there's lots of cloud and lightning flashing around the top of the mountain and he receives the gift of the law and he comes down with the tablets with the Ten Commandments. But actually, it's also on Sinai that Elijah has an experience of God. It's in that great group of Elijah stories, the Elijah cycle in the first book of Kings. He's on the run from King Ahab and wicked Queen Jezebel, and he goes a great journey into the desert to Mount Horeb, which is just another name for Mount Sinai. And there on Mount Sinai, he experiences the earthquake, but the Lord is not in the earthquake, and then the fire, but the Lord is not in the fire, and then the still small voice. Moses and Elijah both have encounters with the glory of God on Mount Sinai. But they're both indirect encounters. Moses does not see God face to face. That's made very clear in Exodus. God says, you're to look, and I will let you see my back, but my face you shall not see, because nobody could see me face to face and live. Even that experience of seeing God from the back is enough to make Moses' face shine, and he has to hold a veil over his face when he comes down, because his face is too bright for the Israelites to look on. Elijah's experience of God on Sinai is likewise an indirect one. The still small voice, or the sound of sheer silence, or whatever it is, it's a puzzling little phrase in the Hebrew. On Tabor, Moses and Elijah get to see the glory of God direct in the transfigured Jesus. The Byzantines were clever people and they went in for word games. One of my favorite Byzantine word games comes in the liturgy for the Feast of the Transfiguration in the Byzantine Rite, where there's a long hymn, it's called the Troparion, and the initial letters of each line spell a sentence, and the sentence is, Moses saw the face of God on Tabor. Because Tabor is the revelation of the glory of God to Peter and James and John, who are with him on the mountain. Actually also to Moses and Elijah, who appear with him on the mountain. Because here in Jesus is the glory of God made directly manifest. Now, to understand how this is so, you need to put the story of the Transfiguration into its place in the narrative flow of the Gospel. If you read one of Matthew, Mark, or Luke straight through, and by the way, it's a really good idea to read a gospel right through from time to time, you kind of see things that you don't notice when you read the little bits that we serve up every Sunday as the readings. You see the architecture of the whole story. If you read it, and I recommend Mark for seeing this most clearly, you will see how the story of the Transfiguration comes at an absolutely vital turn, a kind of hinge, if you like, in the progression of the story of Jesus.